Good morning. If you have a Bible with you, and if you don't, there's a little black pew Bible in front of you. Open your Bible to Matthew chapter 7 as we'll continue in the Sermon on the Mount. We'll be in verses 7 through 11 of chapter 7. So Matthew 7, verse 7. In our passage today, is well known. And really, this passage today is simple to understand. It's simple to see what Jesus is saying here in this passage. So let's read our passage. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11, the very word of God. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Let's pray together. Father, we just heard the words of Jesus, and so we come to you asking and seeking and knocking, Father. We desire deeply to understand this passage, Father. And Father, through this passage, that our faith would increase. Our belief in a Father who is God and loves deeply and his goodness towards his children. So I pray through your word, Father, in the power of your Holy Spirit, that at the end of this message, Father, we will be askers, seekers, and knockers, expecting our loving Father to give us everything good. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. According to Jesus, why should we ask? Because it will be given to us. Why shall we seek? Because we will find. Why should we knock? Because it will be opened to us. In fact, Jesus says in verse 8, for everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. What does this mean? It means if you ask, you will receive. If you seek, you will find. If you knock, the door will be opened to you. That's what it means. If this is real, then this is very exciting, right? What Jesus is not saying is, this is a recommendation I'm making. Jesus is not suggesting we do this. It is, in fact, imperative that we do it. This is a promise from our Lord to move us to take action in prayer. Jesus says, ask, seek, and knock, and you will get a response from God, period. This is not the only place we see this promise. The promise of God to answer prayer is in other places in Scripture. Listen to these. John 14, 13 and 14. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. John 15, 7. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. John 15, 16. So that whatever you ask my Father in my name, he will give it to you. 1 John 3, 22. And whatever we ask, we receive from him. 1 John 5, 15. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of God. Then there is this amazing truth found in Romans 8:32. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? This is truth. This is real. And if we have a pulse of blood coursing through our veins and we have the Holy Spirit in us, we should sit up in our pews and take notice to this. Ask and you will receive. And so many do ask, and many seek, and many do knock. When was the last time you asked God for something? What was it that you asked for? Do you think it matters what you ask for and why you ask for it? It does matter. It does matter. What we ask for and why we ask for it does matter. Listen to James chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. The world doesn't understand this at all. If you listen, you can hear them when it comes to asking. Oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches, I must make amends. Oh Lord, won't you buy me a color TV? Dialing for dollars is trying to reach me. Oh Lord, won't you buy me a night on the town? I'm counting on you, Lord. Don't let me down. Prove that you love me and buy my next round. God says clearly in his word, we will receive what we ask for. But there is context with this passage and this promise. Remember the passages I just read a little earlier? Let me now put them into the context of which they really are. John 14, 13 through 14. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it, if you love me and keep my commandments. John 15, 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father will be glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. John 15, 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that fruit should abide. So whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. These things I command you so that you will love one another. John 1, 1 John 3, 22. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. So there are main contexts within the guaranteed answered prayer. Is what we are asking for, is what we are seeking, is what we're knocking for to keep his commandments, to love him and love each other. Is it about bearing fruit? Is it about pleasing God and glorifying God? Brothers and sisters, praying in the will of God is where answered prayer lies. 1 John 5, 14 and 15. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us and whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of him. According to his will. This is the context of answered prayer. The will of God to keep his commandments, to love him and each other, which bears fruit, pleases him, and brings glory to the name of Jesus. We needed to get that straight before we look at our passage. Listen now, the guaranteed for answered prayer is always in context. And our passage today is in the context of the Sermon on the Mount. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is teaching deep truth on who we are and what we are to do as Christians. The Sermon on the Mount is the will of God for us. If we want not to be angry with our brother, if we want not to lust after women, if we want to avoid swearing oaths, if we want to turn the other cheek, and we want to truly love our enemies, if we want to stop practicing religious duties to be seen by others in order to build up our own self-righteousness, if we want to stop laying treasures on earth and start laying treasures in heaven, if we don't want to be anxious about anything anymore, if we desire to have hearts that mourn and are pure and have pity and compassion on people, and we want to be able to extend mercy and grace and forgive people, if we desire to be salt and light and evil in the dark world, if we hunger and thirst after righteousness, then we ask and we knock and we seek. And our Father, who did not spare his own Son but gave him up for us, will graciously give us all things good. Amen. This is what this passage is about. We are to hear the teachings of Jesus and follow them. So we ask and we seek and we knock. We persistently go to our loving Father, who is God, for help. And he will give us all good things to become the person who is and lives the Sermon on the Mount. We can't live the life of holiness we are called to on our own. We can't do it. But we have Christ. So we have a loving Father in heaven who helps us. So we ask and we seek and we knock, and he graciously gives us everything we need to grow and glorify him. Our passage is simple, so let's keep it simple. There are three important keys to this passage. First, persistence. Persistence in prayer. Second, it's the Father. We have a Father. And third is the good gifts. The good gifts. So first, we are to be persistent in prayer and God will answer. Look at verses 7 and 8. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks it will be opened. Ask. Ask God. How simple is that? Ask. Ask. James says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him what? Buy a bunch of fortune cookies? Read your horoscope every day? No, if anyone lacks wisdom, James says, let him ask God. Let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. Later in James chapter 4, he gives two reasons we don't have what we have, what we desire. And we've looked at this already. What was the reason he gives? We do not have because we do not what? Ask. The second reason he gives for not having is that when we do ask, we ask to spend it on our passions. The context in James is very negative. It's about fighting and idolatry. But the point stands. We must ask God. Next, Jesus tells us to seek and we will find. Seek. This is where perseverance comes in. This is really putting feet to the prayer, as we so often hear people say. Right? We pray to God to use us in the church. We want to be used in the church, and we pray to God, use us in the church, and then what do we do? And really, when you think about it, this is absolutely the will of God for all of his people to serve in the church. So we know the answer to this prayer is yes. So what do? Do we wait for the elders to come knocking on the door and say, I have a spot for you? No, we seek. We seek. We get involved in the activities of the church. We come more than just worship time on Sunday mornings at 10:30. We come on Wednesday nights. We come to discipleship hour. We come to movies and meetings and dinners, and we are always seeking. How can I help? Where do I fit in? What would I enjoy doing to serve my Lord and my brothers and sisters? So we ask and we seek. We persevere until we find the answer. Closely tied to seeking is knocking. Jesus says to knock and it will be opened. Knock. This is where we are persistent in asking God. Keep your finger here and turn with me to Luke's account of this passage in Luke chapter 11. In chapter 11 of Luke, he records the Lord's Prayer, then he gives an analogy, and then he records the ask, seek, knock. So this is all tied together in the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 11, started in verse 5. Directly following the Lord's Prayer, he says, and he said to them, which of you has a friend will go out to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within, do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are in bed with me. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impotence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And then he continues, and I tell you, ask and it will be given, knock, seek and knock. Because of his impotence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. Impudence, audacity, shamelessness, recklessness, or disregard of consideration by the one making the request. This is why the person gets what he asks for. Shamelessness in asking. Impudence. Do you ever think about that? Do you ever think I'm bothering God by asking him? Never, never, never stop asking God. This is what this parable is teaching. God's power is never diminished by an iota of anything he ever does. He never gets tired. He never gets sleepy. He's God. If you feel like you're annoying God by asking him for something, think again. Ask and ask again and keep knocking. Keep asking for the door to be opened. Keep asking for the opportunity. Knock and it will be opened to you. It's interesting, Dr. Lloyd-Jones calls knocking importunity. Impotence, imprudence, and opportunity. Importunity. God, open the door, give me an opportunity. God, open the door, give me an opportunity. God, open the door, I want an opportunity. That's importunity. Ask and seek and knock. Be persistent in asking God. He wants you to. So first is being persistent in prayer. Ask, seek, and knock. Second, we're going to look at the Father. Our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father is the one who answers the prayer. Look back at Matthew 7. 9 through 11. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone. Or if he asks for a fish, he will give him a serpent. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Our Father who is in heaven. We all know this, right? All of this is based on the reality of being in Christ. God is our Father, and we are his adopted children. This is the gospel. This is the good news of Christ. We're dead in our sin. We're dead in our sin. And Jesus comes to the earth, and he lives a holy, righteous, perfect life, never sinning. And he is crucified, and our sin is placed on him, and he takes the wrath of God for us in our place. He takes our sin, and we get his righteousness. He was buried, and he was raised to life. And we must repent of our sin now. We must turn away from our sin. I don't want to do that anymore, God. I want to follow you. And we put our faith in Christ that my sin was nailed to the cross. And I believe that, and I trust in that, and I follow Christ. The moment I repent and have faith, I am born again. And the Holy Spirit indwells us, and we are instantly adopted into the family of God, and I am now a child of the living God. He is God, and we are his children. And we need to somehow wrap our minds around that truth and live in it. Do we see ourselves as God's children? Do we understand that he deals with us as his children? That he deals with me as a father deals with his son? Do we understand that he answers prayers for us as children? Our relationship with him as a father and his son or daughter. When we ask, when we seek, when we knock, we ask our Father who is Almighty God. Pulling this together then, three is a good gift, right? Good gift. Our Heavenly Father gives good gifts. Verse 11. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? This is a comparison of the lesser to the greater. If your earthly father, who is part of this sin-cursed world, knows how to give you a good gift, then how much more will the Almighty Creator and Sustainer of all things, who is your Father, give you good things? How much more? The comparison goes something like this. If you were dying of thirst in the desert, then your earthly father would give you a glass of water. However, if you were dying of thirst in the desert, then your Father, who is in heaven, who controls all things, would bring it to rain. And he would make it rain to fill the valleys, to produce a crop to feed you. And those crops would bring about a harvest that you would sell in order to purchase housing and clothing. And people would move there to enjoy the abundance that God had given to you, all because you asked him. How much more? A glass of water or life? How much more? And in Luke's account of this, he says, how much more will he give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? How much more will he give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Good gifts. Good gifts. It's our Father, and he gives us good gifts. Listen to James chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. James says, do not be deceived, my brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Because we are in Christ, because we are righteous in Christ, and because we are loved by God, dearly and deeply loved by our Father, he will not. And in fact, because of his character, God cannot give us anything but that which is perfect and good. Jesus makes this passage simple for us, brothers and sisters. Jesus is saying, pray with persistence, and your Father in heaven will give you all good things. Jesus says, if you think your dad knows how to give you good things, so much more, a billion times a billion plus infinity more, so much more does your heavenly Father know. Almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-present, Lord of Lords and Kings of Kings, answers our prayer as loving Father, ask, seek, and knock. Do you ever wonder what heaven will be like? One thing is certain, Jesus will be there, right? Enough said. But I wonder, after 1,000 years on being on my face in front of my Lord, and then the 2,000 years of embracing him, when those are over, maybe we'll talk. And maybe, just maybe, the subject may come up of prayer. Jesus will tell me how much he loved me. And he'll tell me of the things I missed out on because I didn't ask. The thing is, brothers and sisters, what is the devotion of our life? If our undivided devotion, if our singleness of mind, if our heart's desire is to love God and love others, if our single purpose in this world is to follow our Lord Jesus Christ, then asking and seeking and knocking will be as routine as breathing. So what do? Pray, right? If you haven't been, then repent and pray. It's that simple. Repent and pray. Tell God, I'm sorry. I want to pray more. Help me to pray more. If you ask God to help you to pray more and you seek and you knock, you think that's answered? So as individuals, if you believe you are a born-again believer in Jesus Christ with the Holy Spirit of God indwelling you, then the desire for all the good things is in you. And if you read through the Sermon on the Mount and you say, yes, God, I desire to be merciful and forgive, but it's really hard, then ask God. Help me to have a deeper understanding of the forgiveness that Christ had for me and the pity and the compassion that Christ had for me. Help me to understand that deeper, Lord, so that I can forgive as I am forgiven. And seek that understanding then, right? Just pray for it, seek it. And then knock for the opportunities to forgive. And when God answers the prayer, and he will, you must believe him in that moment. You must believe his power is there for you to forgive. And you must trust him. But in order for this to happen, you must ask, and you must seek, and you must knock. And your Father will give you good and only good. As a body now, we pray, we ask, we seek, we knock. The question is, as a body, do we believe in the Great Commission? Do we believe God wants us to make disciples? Do we believe that God wants us to love our community in a real and tangible way? Do we believe that God wants us to build a structure in order to serve the community and love on them and bring glory to Christ? Does your heart long to join hand in hand with your brothers and sisters in Christ to sacrificially give, sacrificially serve with the gifts and talents God had given you for the good of the community and the glory of his name? If that's you, then let's seek and ask and pray and knock together. And on the authority of the Word of God, we will be a people amazed by what God does. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we come now asking, and we ask, dear God, that you would make hearts out of all of us who love you deeply, who love you and obey you and serve you. And Father, we pray also that we have hearts that love each other just as deeply as we love you. That we would be a group of people that are so in love with you and each other that people can't help but see Christ in us. And Father, I do pray for the building project, as we're calling it. Father, I pray that you would give us hearts that would sacrificially give. Not that we can have a big, beautiful building that we can point at when we drive by saying, that's our church, but that we can have a structure that is functional. A structure, Father, that we can reach out in the community so many different ways, Father. Help us to see that. Help us to vision that. Help us, Father, and empower us to complete that. We trust you, Father. We pray that you grant us wisdom, dear God, through all of this. And Father, we are so grateful that you are a God that has graced Country Bible Church with so many people that you have gifted and given talents to, Father. I pray now that you help us see a vision together, Father. And Father, that you would help us and empower us then to be all servants of yours who just care so much for the lost, that we have pity and compassion and we forgive and we draw them here, Father, and we show them Christ. May we do this. In Jesus' name I pray.